Morning, Daddy.
Yes, sir.
Ron White, how are you?
I'm good, Mr. White. How in the heck are you?
I feel like 100 pesos.
100 pesos. That's a Texas boy talking to you. Hey, Ron, say hi to my partner, Rita.
Hi, Ron.
Good morning, Rita. How are you? Love?
I am good, hon. How are you?
Sounds like you're dragging this morning a little bit.
It's brutal. We're out in Montecito, where we live part of the time, and our neighbors, this couple from Fort Worth, rent a house next to us every summer for 2 months, and it was our last time to see them, and they're probably in their early 70s, but they like to get hammered. So I was over there last night till about 1, and then I came back over here, and they're like, you know, press starts at 6:15. I'm like, all right, okay, good. Good, that's special.
Well, I must say you have that deep, hot, sexy voice within the morning thing going.
Rita?
Yes?
You're churning me. You're churning me. You know what? This is a voice built on years and years of scotch and cigars. So there's no faking this.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's really sexy. I've worked with guys. I've done morning shows with men. Actually, only 2 men in the last 20-some years. Big Daddy's my second one here. I've known him for a long time, but we just started doing the show here a couple months ago. And I get into the big, deep voice thing in the mornings. Nice.
You know, I hope my wife Margo does too. I can't change it. I don't have a little gay voice that I can use every once in a while. I just have this one.
Well, I've seen you a couple times when you've come through Sioux City through the years when I was at another affiliate, and I love your show.
Well, you are so sweet to me this morning. Yeah, it's fun, and I'm looking forward to coming back to Sioux City. I had a blast last time I was there, and a lot of comics at this point in their career only do big markets, and Sioux City is kind of a medium-sized market, but I really enjoy doing those kind of towns. And I'm from a little bitty town of 700 people, and so I kind of get to, I like getting to know the people. It's a great source of comedy to get out and talk to people like the folks in Sioux City. So,
well, I know that when you do come, you're coming to the Orpheum, which actually has been redone, and it is a beautiful theater.
Yeah, the Orpheum is gorgeous, and it is, in fact, it's been redone. I've done it twice. I think once that it's been redone, and it's a great room, and the people of Sioux City should be really proud of having it. Because not all cities do, you know, not all cities are blessed with a venue like that.
Well, when you do your show, how do you come up with your ideas? I think a lot of it's storytelling, because it is so relatable, and that's what makes it so funny, at least for me personally. But I mean, where do you come up with your prep?
It's just my brain, which isn't good for many things, is good for this, and I just kind of live life and try to watch it close and report back, and also live like a banshee. I was talking to a cop the other day, and I realized that if I was going to be a cop, I'd want to be a small town cop, not a big town cop, because in big towns, crimes could go unsolved for 50 or 60 years. And that just doesn't happen in a small town. In a small town, the cop's like, can you describe the guy that robbed you? And you're like, yeah, he was Dwayne.
He was Dwayne. Or the small town cops, if they see you, they'll say, hey, buddy, get in. I'll give you a ride home.
Right.
Okay.
Just a drunk man behind the wheel of an automobile. No big deal.
That's right. Now, you said you come from a town of 700 people?
Yeah.
So what's it like every day? I mean, you're kind of a celebrity. What's it like there? You just one of the old boys, or?
Oh, I don't go back to that town.
Oh, you don't go back to that town. They don't want you back?
I never go back. My grandmother passed away years ago, and she was the last living relative there. And,
okay.
So I have been back maybe 5 years ago, and I still have a sister who lives in Amarillo, and this is a town north of Amarillo, about 60 miles. And so one day I was doing a corporate gig for a record place, and which they don't have many of them anymore. But so they'd given me a big white little stretch, and I took the white stretch out to my little dirt town, hometown, and they know who I am, and
right.
they dig it that I'm from there. And but it's still got dirt streets to this day. So it's a it is a ho-dunk little godforsaken city.
Hey, let me ask you something. I saw you guys down in Fort Myers, Florida, a number of years back, and with a blue collar. Give me a short synopsis of each one of your compadres. First off, Jeff Foxworthy. What can you say nice about him?
You can't say anything mean about Jeff. He's just the sweetest thing. You know, it was all really, you know, popular comedians have only one common denominator, and that's that they're true to their nature, and Jeff is true to his. And, you know, he doesn't cuss in real life. He takes his kids to school every morning, no matter what he does, and you know, goes to church. And so he's written a show that he can do in a saloon or a, you know, or a church, and it works, and that's amazing. So Jeff's literally one of the best structure writers I've ever met, and it was his goal for a long time to make me a famous comedian, and he truly sucks at it because it took him forever. So Bill Engvall, pound for pound, is just an amazing guy, and Larry is. Well, let's go back to the other two guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when I saw you guys,
most amazing movies ever made.
Well, when I saw you guys,
hilarious. Yeah, yep. I don't know if you saw Health Inspector, but how that didn't win awards, I have no idea.
Yeah, when I saw you guys, I thought Engvall, you know, he was the least known, I think, of the four of you. That man made me laugh.
Oh, Engvall, number one, I was the least known of the four of us. Engvall had already had a platinum record at that point. And Bill, yeah, I've known him all my, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 27 years. I've known all of them for 27 years. And but Bill, boy, when he'd come to comedy clubs back in the day, he was just as good as it ever got. And, you know, I would open for him sometimes, and I would go dirty and long, and which is hard to follow for most guys. Back when I was a young comic, I was hard to get on stage after. And
hey, Ron,
I'd walk on stage, and they forget I was ever there.
Hey, Ron, and, I know you got a huge schedule in that, but what do you do for fun? Last but not least, what do you do for just for giggles?
I'm a golf fanatic, you know. My whole crew plays golf. My road manager is a guy named Steve Cook, and he and I have been friends since we were six. And we usually get up. I'm usually touring on my bus, and we travel at night. So I wake up nearly every day at a golf course somewhere, and it's like being FedEx. You don't have to get in a car or a plane. Just wake up there. So that's what we do.
My golf game gets better the more
at
I
night. We go out and find live music. So we're, you know, after our shows, we're always trying to support the arts and party environment of whatever town we're in. So we look for live music. So being on the road is still fun.
Cool.
Well, Ron, we look forward to seeing you. You're coming to the Orpheum here Sunday, September the 9th, and I know people are there's not many tickets left to see your show, so somebody must like you.
You know, even though I know it's going to be over soon, it's not over yet.
You're a good guy, man. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, and I wish you well.
Nice talking to you.
Big Daddy Rita, thank you very much for having me on your radio program this morning.
You take care, Ron.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
From factory closeout.
It'll work out good.
I don't think he could hear us very well either, which is...